This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Tommy, good morning. Thanks for getting up with us again.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, guys. Good to hear from you.
It's a fun one because we love these kind of early games. At least they fit our schedule, and that's really all we care about, Tommy. But it should be fun. You know, I think we talked about it. Paul Skeens is worth the price of admission. You know, you guys have been the best offense in baseball, and this guy's just one of those pitchers you want to see pitch.
Yeah, good young pitching talent, I think, in this league is always exciting. Getting to watch a guy like him in division, watch him go out there with the stuff that he has is pretty impressive. That's what you want, like, in baseball. You want premium matchups with elite pitching, with good offenses, and you love that, you know, that challenge that presents. And he's obviously a challenge for us, but, you know, we're a team, we're an offense. It's shown that we can beat some of the best pitchers in the game. So I'm obviously excited for the matchup today.
Tommy, let's go back to last night. What a difficult thing to process, I would imagine, from the dugout, from your vantage point, just from everyone who was in attendance at PNC Park, when you saw the fan in the seventh inning plunge 20 feet from the stands down to the ground, medical personnel respond immediately. Take us through your mindset and what you saw and how you processed that.
Yeah, it's obviously a lot of emotions. Prayers and thoughts and everything go out to the fan, his family, and or their family, and anybody who's with them. The craziest thing for us, I guess, from our vantage point, was the emotions of the play, and you see the ball kick off Dansby, and the ball shoots out toward right, so everybody's looking at the ball, so everybody saw it. You know, you saw the whole thing from our vantage point, and it was kind of right in that area, and you just, like, your first thought is just shock, like, what just happened? What was that? And then as the play settles, you realize it's actually a person. You know, you immediately start thinking for the worst. But it's just one of those situations that you just pray you never have to see. You pray obviously for the family and for the person that, you know, they're going to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a sorrowful moment. I don't know how to describe it. It was awful. And, you know, we were talking about whether there was any discussion of delaying the game to this morning, because you're obviously already playing a morning game. You could have gotten it in. But I don't know how you continue in that situation. I think you do it because it's what you do. But that was just – I've never seen that before at any – Eddie, I can't think of a venue or a game where I've seen that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I think immediately you just went right to, like, what happened. And I think being able to get the fan off the field and rush them, obviously, to the hospital, I think had it been a longer delay, I think you'd probably look at doing something like that. But again, in the moment, you don't you're just trying to process everything. You're just trying to process what happened. And then make sure that everybody's in a good headspace to continue.
Tommy, hold on 1 second. We're having a problem. Did we have that resolved? No. We're trying to clean up that.
We'll reconnect with Tommy Hotovy, who's trying to describe, you know, watching what happened with the fan falling and seeing the medical personnel attend to him, and then still having the having to move on because right. they did that and they had to resume play. And it was a seventh inning and they had two more innings to go. Yeah. So as we rejoin, I think reconnect with Tommy. Not yet. All right. Well, it's going to be difficult for the Cubs getting ready for a day game to this morning in Pittsburgh.
We do have Tommy back. Sorry about that. Tommy, I have no idea what happened, but there was like a buzzing noise. Sorry.
Nope. No worries. No worries. I'm walking out on the field and they're mowing, so it could be, me.
So, Tommy, let's get back to baseball. You have a big game today, but I'm curious how you would explain the big move yesterday from a transaction standpoint. Chris Flexen joins the Major League pitching staff. He was in the organization, former pitcher for the White Sox, a veteran that gives you some flexibility. What are the plans to use Chris Flexen?
I think, right away, just the ability to provide some real length out in the bullpen. We know this is a stretch of nine games in a row. We had some great stretches of off days to give our bullpen, some rest. But right now, being able to give us some length to cover the majority of the guys have been carrying the workload lately is going to be big. And I think for Chris, he's a guy that we originally, we obviously added for starter depth and a guy that we, we're hoping we can help identify some things he wanted to continue to work on to get better. He did a fantastic job of that this spring, honing in on a little bit more athleticism, pushing a little bit more velocity, some things that, he felt like he kind of got robotic, as the years, last couple of years went on. And he had a great April, a really good April in Iowa. And the guy that, I think has been around, he's pitched, quite a few innings in this league and is going to provide some real needed depth out there for sure.
And a corresponding move there was seeing Javier Assad go on the 60-day IL, which was just a bummer, knowing that he seemed like he was closing in on a return, and then, obviously the issue takes him out of a start in Iowa, and now we see it's going to be a couple months.
Yeah, unfortunate for Javi, a guy who we've relied on so much over the last couple of years, and has proven that he could really be a dominant pitcher in this league. And thought he was getting close. He was four innings into his last outing, and just going out for that fifth just kind of felt something in that same area that he'd been dealing with. So, we've obviously got to give Javi time to let this thing calm down. But I think as a group, we're gonna continue to put our heads together to figure out what could be causing this, what could be causing it to reoccur. I think when it happens one time, you're like, okay, that can happen, a bad pitch, a bad move, a bad play, something might, cause something in that low back oblique type of area to get set off. But when it happens again, you start questioning a lot more things. Is it something mechanical? Is it something he's doing off the field in the weight room or from a conditioning standpoint, something that might be re-triggering it? We got to, figure that out as a group.
So, Tommy, anxious moment the other night when Shota Imanaga left the mound. We all wondered how bad the injury was. Turns out that it was just a cramp. You wonder if it's something that's going to linger. What's the latest with Shota Imanaga and any concerns about him missing a start?
I don't think we have any concerns about him missing a start right now in terms of how this lingers and how it goes. Anytime your body's cramping, there's going to be a little bit of, I guess trauma is not quite the right word, but a little bit of stress and tension and tightness is going to come from it. We'll obviously monitor him over the next few days, make sure his catch play looks good, make sure his bullpen tomorrow looks good. And that he's progressing the way he wants to as well. In these moments, too, we can do the best we can. And he's going to know more than anybody, I guess, is the point I'm trying to get at. We're going to communicate with him and make sure he's feeling good. We were joking afterwards. He ate five bananas, and he said Kawasaki's, monkey never cramp didn't work. So he's going to have to talk to Kawasaki about that one.
Oh, that's hysterical. Hey, we were talking about something that Craig Counsell said last week. He was talking about Ben Brown, and he was extremely candid and forthright in saying, it's not good enough. He's got to be better. And I think you only say something like that if you believe that the guy is capable of being what you want him to be. How did that go over? How did Ben respond to that? And what do you think about what Craig Counsell had to say?
Yeah, I think the reason Craig said it is because that's what Ben is thinking to himself too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think Ben knows that he has the ability to be an elite starting pitcher in this league. He knows that he's continuing to work on things and get better. He knows, that when he's right, he can go through one of the most dominant lineups in the game, in Dodger Stadium on the road. So, for him, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be great games with a bad inning. There's going to be a rough start that he's going to have to work through some things. There's going to be a start where he goes out there and just absolutely rolls for six innings. And I think for Ben, it's learning how to stay, central and stay even through all those moments, because when this game's cruel, you could be rolling like you did last game for three innings and then give up five singles, on the ground and hit a guy and completely changes the game in the outing. So I think Ben knows that. And the one thing for Ben too, he's continuing to work, to grow his arsenal, to work on new pitches, to find ways to continue to improve. And I think back to last year, had he had the last 3 months of the season to do a lot of the things that he was wanting to work on last year, he might be in a very different place right now. And I think is extremely important for us with Ben to get him back to that initial point of success, trusting his two best pitches and get on a nice little steady run here of building up innings and workload to then continue to work on the things that he wants to work on. It was tough last year in the offseason, not having kind of the full ramp up, the ability to work on all the things from a pitch package standpoint that he wanted to work on. But we're going to see that evolve as this year goes on. I'm 100% confident in that, and I'm confident in the work that he's putting in. So, it's going to be fun. The Ben Brown watch this year is going to be fun to see when he does start to break out some of those newer pitches in his arsenal, when that time comes as he continues to gain more confidence over the year.
We only have a minute left, Tommy, but so will be the Cade Horton watch, which will be a lot of fun. And I can't help but notice that this year in five outings, he has yet to give up more than three hits in a run at Triple-A Iowa. For a team, no disrespect, Colin Ray's been great. Chris Flexen is a pro, but can we get excited about Cade Horton yet, or are we still being patient?
I think people have been excited about Cade Horton for a while. But I don't want to temper any enthusiasm right now. I mean, yeah, he's definitely doing the things that we know he's capable of doing, and he knows he's capable of doing. And there's still some things I think in his mind and in the organization's mind want him to continue to hone in on and sharpen up over here. The next few outings, but he's definitely on the radar, guys. Guys that are pitching well down there, especially early in the season, that work hard in the off season and kind of roll into the season, those are the guys that should be on your radar, and he's doing a fantastic job right now.
Great stuff. Great catching up with you, Tommy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
That is the Cubs pitching coach. That's Tommy Hotovy. Interesting.